In remote mountains of central China, moisture, born on the monsoons, nurtures a forest world of isolation and mystery. Across ages, bamboo has flourished in the persistent mists, erecting nearly impenetrable thickets, barriers against time and the outside world. For nearly a decade, a Chinese scientist has searched the bamboo forest for one of the world's most elusive animals. Though its image is known to millions, the giant panda has kept its life in the wild hidden from humans. For Professor Pan Wenxia, deciphering the panda's secrets is an urgent matter. The species clings precariously to existence. Only about 1,200 remain. In captivity, pandas have not reproduced enough to increase or even maintain their population. If the species is to be saved, we must understand and protect the secret life of pandas in the wild. Now, an unprecedented opportunity.
Thanks.
In a mountain cave, a newborn panda is found, permitting the first comprehensive film record and the first long-term study of a young panda embarking on a remarkable life unlike that of any creature on Earth. Rugged divide between northern and southern China, and one of the last retreats of the giant panda. Concealed by dense foliage and its own distinctive color pattern, the panda is literally hidden here. In the panda's world, nothing is quite what it seems. The clown-like mask elicits instant human affection, but it's probably seen as a threat by other animals, one of the panda's many subtle defenses. Pandas are shy and seldom aggressive. When one is seen, it is usually retreating. They are solitary animals, rarely together, but they are aware of each other, keeping in touch by sound and especially scent. Their social lives consist largely of reading and leaving scent marks. Rubbing its scent glands on trees and rocks, a panda says, "Here I am," or "There I was." By smell alone, pandas can tell the identity and sexual mood of a neighbor who may go unseen for months. Almost exclusively, giant pandas eat bamboo. Equipped with a unique sixth digit, ideal for eating bamboo, pandas have been shaped by evolution for this life-sustaining activity. They consume up to 80 pounds of bamboo a day with great technique and efficiency, but they're finicky about this monotonous diet. They eat different parts of the bamboo in different seasons. Sometimes they prefer the tender leaves and shoots, while at other times it's the tough, woody stems they crave. It's a lot of work for little reward. Only about 17% is digested. So pandas must eat relentlessly, up to 14 hours a day. They eat till they're full, then sleep wherever they are until they awaken, hungry again. But young pandas are the exception. To survive, they must learn about the world. They must play. Seemingly vulnerable, the panda has endured while other, more formidable mammals have become extinct. Its margin of safety is narrow, but for millions of years it has been sufficient. Yet an understanding of how the wild panda survives has been as elusive as the animal itself. To unlock the panda's secrets, a former logging camp called Shashuping now serves as a research station. From this base, biology professor Pan Wenshe and his students monitor more than 60 pandas in the surrounding forest. The first long-term study of wild pandas and their young. With Lu Zhe, former student and now a research colleague, Pan has long hoped to discover why panda young, fragile in captivity, seem to thrive in the wild. This knowledge could save the species. After years of patient searching, Pan and Lu Zhe now suspect a birth has occurred in a high den and set out on a September morning to investigate. The treacherous slopes of Qinling are like fortress walls and perhaps explain why the existence of giant pandas here was not confirmed until 1964. A gentle approach, to glimpse without disturbing. In a cramped cave, an adult female they have tracked closely. Cradled in her paws, a tiny pink body. Han will find that a wild panda mother devotes herself entirely to her newborn. She holds and soothes the baby continuously, neither leaving the den nor feeding for 25 days. Blind and helpless, the newborn is dwarfed by its mother. At about 4 ounces, it weighs only 1/900th as much. Perhaps in part to prevent an accidental crushing, the infant panda wields a voice out of all proportion to its body. Professor Pan's hope is that by studying the baby's needs, he can learn enough to help avoid misadventures of the past involving pandas and human beings. A panda was not seen alive in the West until 1936, when a cub named Su Lin was carried to the United States. Though Su Lin would survive only 18 months, it was love at first sight. The public craved more pandas, and zoos responded. The sudden fad was called pandemonium. The panda was immediately beloved, but poorly understood, treated as if the living animal were itself a child's toy. And the toy had arrived without an instruction manual. Keepers could only guess at its needs. Nearly half died within 5 years. As a result of our enchantment, One in ten of the world's remaining pandas lives in captivity today, among the most popular and profitable of zoo animals. The dream has been to breed pandas in captivity for release into the wild, but arranged matings produce very few offspring. The result has been a record of more deaths in captivity than births. Even in a more natural enclosure in a Chinese panda reserve, successful reproduction remains uncertain. A female can conceive only during a few days each year. In captivity, males are mainly indifferent, in part because they lack competition and are often overweight. Loud love songs frequently lead to no more than a wrestling match. Even when young are produced, their chances of survival are bleak. In the past three decades, nearly 60% have died within their first year. Despite intense care, this cub would live only 5 months. So far, it has not been possible to breed a self-sustaining panda population in captivity. For the species to survive, protecting it in the wild is critical. But time and habitat are running out.
The famous and the infamous. Revered or reviled. They're the leaders and revolutionaries who ushered mankind through a century of war and peace and incredible changes. On Patek Philippe Special, People of the Century, Wednesday night at 10 o'clock. The cities. The chefs, the cuisine, a one-of-a-kind traveling and culinary show, a one-of-a-kind experience on Europe à la carte, Sunday night at 8 o'clock.
A panda homeland that once stretched across southern Asia from Vietnam to present-day Beijing has shrunk under human pressure to only 6 small unconnected areas. For about 240 wild pandas, the southern slopes of the Qinling Mountains are a last refuge. By fitting pandas with radio collars and monitoring their signals, Professor Pan and Lu Jir have been able to track the pandas in their study group from afar and locate them easily for closer observation. Theirs is an unprecedented bond between human and panda. Never before have wild pandas become so accustomed to scientists and allowed them so close.
For 9 years in Qinling, Liu Zi and I have lived among giant pandas. We drink water from the same small stream with them, and we have stayed together with them almost every day. They are familiar with our scent. These pandas know us very well.
Lone pandas are often very tolerant. But will a mother be so trusting if they attempt to visit the newborn inside the den? Hoping to conduct a thorough examination of the panda cub, Professor Pan and Lu Jir approach while the mother feeds some distance away from the new den. She stayed away so long, they now fear the cub may be dead, erasing a scientific opportunity and another life in a lineage where each has become precious. Go here. Their fears prove unfounded. His time to inspect the cub is limited. Too long in the den, and despite their efforts to gain her acceptance, the mother could react violently to their presence here and attack them. They usually observe from a distance, but they must sometimes examine the infant panda closely to document its growth. It's a female, an advantage for science. In the years to come, she may bear cubs of her own, permitting study of a panda family across generations. At 7 weeks, the baby weighs more than 3 pounds. Her eyes are opening on the world. Her expanding repertoire of sounds could alarm her mother, still browsing nearby. Pan is heartened by what he finds. The cub appears normal and fit, with a stomach full of mother's milk and a strong heartbeat. Time is up. The baby must be returned quickly to avoid a confrontation. In the weeks to come, Pan and Lu Zhe make an important observation. When her cub is weeks old, a wild mother leaves it to feed for hours at a time. In the past, this natural behavior was often thought abandonment, and many cubs were taken from their mothers, only to die later in human care. This all began with a boyhood dream of adventure in a faraway exotic land.
When I was in high school, I read Jack London's books. Among the books, two greatly impressed me: White Fang and The Call of the Wild. From then on, I dreamed of living in remote areas like Western America or Alaska or the Yukon River Valley. Living in the wild and among wild animals, that was my early dream, and I hope to make it my future.
At a zoo in the ancient capital city of Xi'an, a visit to a friend. Her name is Don Don, a reference to her reddish brown and white coloration. She is one of only three such pandas they know of. Pan and Lu Zhe think this color scheme may be a throwback to prehistoric times. Pandas may have developed their black and white coloration as camouflage during the ice ages. Finding Don Don ill in the wild, Pan and Lu Zhe brought her here for temporary care, hoping she would be released later. In a Beijing classroom, Pan carries his campaign on behalf of pandas to a wildly receptive audience. Using props made from the skins of pandas who died in captivity, Pan teaches about the need to protect wild pandas.
Huh?
His stories evoke surprise. The children thought pandas lived only in zoos. Pan wants to inspire understanding of wild pandas in the generation that will probably decide their fate. The trip south to the Qingling Mountains is itself a test of resolve. 22 hours by train, then 14 hours by bus. This journey retraces the ancient retreat of the panda before advancing waves of human settlement. The last stands of wilderness, like the last pandas, survive only where food crops cannot, at the highest edges of existence. For years, Professor Pham and Lu Jer conducted a lonely enterprise. But they have now attracted a following of students who staff the Qingling Research Station in seasonal shifts. To Pan, they hold promise that the panda will not be forgotten. And they have been staunch companions in an adventure that has sometimes been an ordeal.
There were many difficulties when we started this research. We always felt cold, and our clothes were always wet. Lu Zi got frostbite on her face, and Ding Shen had frostbitten fingers.
Mid-December. 4 months have passed since the birthing season among Qingling pandas. Cubs are now old enough to crawl from their dens and are sometimes found outside while their mothers browse nearby. Face to face with humans, the cub seems by turns reticent and full of bravado. To symbolize her importance for the future of pandas, the two researchers have decided to name her Shiwang, meaning hope. The christening is of no interest to a baby who may sleep 20 hours a day, even when guests are present. Easy slumber is a panda trait. Nearby, her mother unwinds from the labors of eating bamboo. Shiwang seems vulnerable. But animal predators pose less of a threat than humans. A panda pelt can bring poachers more than $10,000. And dozens of panda cubs have been taken into captivity by well-meaning rescuers who believed, or wanted to believe, that they had been abandoned. Shiwang is still nursing, so bamboo, which will dominate her life, is for now just a plaything. A surprise. The mother returns and decides to move Shiwang to a new den. A routine occurrence. But for Pan and Lu Jer, it's a rare moment. Despite years of observation, they have seldom seen two pandas, even mother and young, together in the open. Touched by her devotion, they call the mother Zhao Zhao, or Double Charming.
In a harsh world, while some exercise graceful restraint, others use a threatening display and exert physical violence to get their fair share of food, a mate, and turf. On the Trials of Life, Fighting, Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. To speed up improvement to poor living conditions in the old urban areas, the government plans to set up an urban renewal authority. While speeding up redevelopment, the authority will also provide green open space and community facilities, help improve old buildings, and preserve historical buildings. The consultation period has now been extended to the 31st of December. Please send in your views on the Urban Renewal Authority Bill.
The passion for me, Georgia, it just ended. My kissing her had something to do with my fear of losing you.
You are still defending yourself. Why?
I am mitigating. I am not defending.
You are an awful person.
All right.
Perhaps we should go out.
What's he doing? Oh, my God.
Ally McBeal, Monday night at 10 o'clock.
In Pond's study area, only one farm has persevered in the harsh altitudes of panda territory. En route back, the two scientists visit the Lee family, who count themselves protectors of the pandas. Pond has heard reports that a panda has been sighted in the vicinity. It behaved as though ill. Have the Lees seen it? They have, by the river, and were surprised to encounter one so far down the mountain. In a chill rain, at 1 a.m, Professor Pan and his team are summoned on a special mission. Villagers have sent word that a wild panda has appeared on a doorstep. Pan thinks it may be the animal seen by the Lees. The scientists are puzzled by a tendency of wild pandas to come to human dwellings when ill, an enigma in a creature normally so withdrawn. Though they are neighbors of wild pandas, few in the village have ever seen one. Beneath corn dried for hog feed, the creature huddles as if seeking help. The animal appears old. Pan asks if the panda has been fed. It has not. The man discovered it, whimpering. And he was amazed. Suspecting a digestive problem, Pan decides to treat the panda back at camp. It proves no easy task to relocate the 200-pound creature. At Shashuping Research Station, therapy begins with a breakfast of bamboo. Weighing the old panda's good fortune at being rescued, the students call him by a name that means lucky. Already, his appetite is returning. Antibiotics and vitamins mixed in honey meal quickly revive Lucky's spirit. In ancient texts, a creature believed to be the panda was known as the iron-eating beast, because it chewed up metal cooking utensils. And it still tries to.
Okay.
课堂欢迎，听力课堂欢迎，听啊点儿看。